Good morning. How many choices have you made today? How many choices have you made since you woke up this morning and went about your life? Some of them are automatic. You probably don't think too much about turning a light on if you can't see. Or if you require coffee or Diet Coke, you probably didn't think too much about getting that ready. In fact, you're making choices right now, whether they're conscious or unconscious, in that you're tuning out lots of sounds that are in the sanctuary. Maybe the sermon. Or maybe the buzz of the lights. Or maybe the hum of the organ. Or maybe the sound that your neighbors are making if they're chewing gum or other things. Sometimes we don't always know all the things that we're tuning out. We also might have made conscious decisions today. Decision to go, to make plans for the day, to do the things you're going to do. We have lots of choices that we make. A particular author that has had a profound impact on my life is a person named Viktor Frankl. Viktor Frankl is a survivor of the Holocaust. He was a psychologist or a psychiatrist before the Holocaust and was afterwards. And while he was surviving, he sort of turned on his research and observed things. And one of his theories that he came up with is that between a set of circumstances or events and between our response to that is where true human freedom lies. In other words, from stimulus to response, our choice that we make and how we respond or how we react or what we do, that is the place where our freedom, our dignity, all those things can come into play. And we might not think about that in every decision that we make, but we might not always realize just how often we might have a decision or can make a decision in any given set of circumstances. Now, he writes that coming out of one of the most horrific times, one of the most horrific moments when he says, and someone might even say to him, how can you say there was any choice in the concentration camps? And he goes on with story after story about how we might make decisions in any given circumstance. Now, for most of us, we're probably not going to be faced with that tough of a choice. But yet we are faced with choices every day. And in some ways, when we hear this gospel that we have for today about Jesus being tempted in the desert, it's about the choices that Jesus is making. But it's also to encourage us when we're faced with temptations or with those things that might draw us from the love of God. The story of Jesus in the desert echoes several other stories in the Bible. He's out for 40 days and 40 nights, echoing both the story of Noah and also the story of the journey from Exodus into the Promised Land. It echoes a time in which Jesus is seen to not be surrounded by God, so to speak, but on his own. He's outside of his community. He's outside of food and water. And he's there in the desert, and he's asked three questions. Right? Will you be God? Will you do magic? And will you test God? Those are the three temptations that are placed before Jesus, temptations that all of us in some ways might face in our life. The illusion of that. And Jesus comes back with clever answers. Answers that would have astounded the people who would have been hearing Jesus talk of this. Surprise. Not expected. Can you turn this rock into bread? No, we can't live by bread alone. It's not enough. You can lead everything. You can have control over the whole world. You can make every decision. No, it's not for me to decide that. Throw yourself down. God will protect you. No, I'm not going to put God to the test. How do we test God in our own lives? How do we sometimes set up a deal with God? You know, I'll do this if you do this. Anybody ever done that? Be honest. How many of us have wanted to turn the stone into bread? How many of you wear a particular shirt on a sporting event day Because you know you're the one. We do those things. There's another story that happened in my life a certain time when I remember someone else making choices that were different than the choices that might have been clear. I was in 7th grade, I think, in Texas. And I went to a junior high called Travis Junior High in Conroe, Texas. It was a really big school. There's 2,500 or so students at the school for 7th and 8th grade. And it was one of those times when there were so many more students than the school system could support, they put up temporary housing, so to speak. So we had sort of the mobile home of classrooms. And so you had this campus that you moved in and out of, you moved in and out of the buildings, and it was a very, it was a school with great diversity. It was about a third Hispanic, about a third African-American, about a third white. It was a great, fun place to be. But it also had all kinds of really tough things that happened to students in that age group. At that time, I was a pretty small kid, and I was not very coordinated and not super athletic. And I remember sort of seeing fights and different things that would happen, or, you know, everybody in Texas, by the way, goes out for football, at least the guys do, and you go out for it no matter what your size, and you find out pretty quickly when you're not a very big kid that football's not a sport for you. So I was one of the smaller kids, and I remember this sort of weird thing happening where suddenly I was told by some other guys that I was supposed to hate this kid named Alan, because he was another one of the small kids, and they had sort of worked it out and arranged for the two of us to fight. I'm not kidding. So over about a week and a half, they got us all worked up. I really got to the point where I just didn't like Alan at all. He was causing all kinds of problems, and there was an appointed time that we were supposed to fight after school one day. And we got to where we were kind of going about school, and you know, there's Alan, boy, he's going to get you. And then they brought us to this point, and there's, you know, about 100 kids around, and they make a circle, and they're egging us on, and it's, I think they might have had side bets, I don't know. But, and Al and I were sort of there, and we're like, what? We're going to fight, and I didn't know how to fight. I'm not one of those kind of kids that cause a lot of trouble. I didn't really fight people. I had brothers and stuff, I got picked on by my brothers, but okay, we start to fight. This is not what you see in the movies. Okay, it was not stylistic, it was not great. We just sort of started, you know, going after each other because we had to figure out who was going to not be at the bottom, was really what was going on. So we go out after each other, no one really wins. We both end up with black eyes. We both end up with split lips. It's not pleasant, and we both get in a lot of trouble. Mr. Washington, our history teacher, comes eventually and separates us, and the principal comes, and we're hauled off to the office. Our parents are called, and we both get 5 days of in-school suspension. I had no idea what that meant. Did you ever have 5 days or even a day of in-school suspension? You don't have to raise your hands. Well, in-school suspension at this school meant you went to school, you went to this room, you sat in the room, you did your homework, you were not to talk to anybody else, you were not to leave the room, you were not to socialize, and when school was over, you're supposed to leave, get on your bus, whatever, go home, and you do this for 5 days. We had a proctor who would watch after us and would make sure we weren't having any fun or smiling or enjoying anything. And having never been in in-school suspension, I didn't know that you're supposed to bring your food because they really don't want you interacting with anybody else. And so if you didn't bring food, you're not allowed to go to the cafeteria and use your card and get the food that you're supposed to get. So I show up without food, and the teacher says, well, you should have planned ahead. True, but I didn't know. Can I go get lunch? No, you're not allowed to leave. So I'm not supposed to have lunch. This is a big deal when you're a 13 or 14-year-old guy. It's a big deal anytime. And so the day kind of goes on, and it's time for lunch. We put our books away. We can sit, and we get to have this lunch period. He says, well, since you didn't plan ahead, you just get to sit here and watch everybody else eat. And then she leaves the room, and then Alan's sitting there and says, are you hungry? I said, yeah, I'm really hungry. And Alan shows me how to break bread. Takes a sandwich, splits it. Gives me half. Half is chips, half is banana, and we have lunch. Now this is the kid I was supposed to hate, right? This is the kid that we all were gonna, you know, we were just really going loggerheads with each other. We had to figure out the right order of things, and yet he shows some kindness in that moment. And even though we're not supposed to talk over the 5 days, it's sort of interesting design that you put the two kids who fought right next to each other through in-school suspension. But we start talking. And we start finding out we have lots in common. And we leave in-school suspension, instead of being bitter enemies who wanted to fight each other, we leave as friends. Mostly because Alan made the choice to share with this guy who he just fought, because I was hungry. And then a friendship happened. It's sort of one of those things where when I look back, I had all kinds of choices through everything that was happening. We could have easily not showed up for that time. We could have been sick that day from school. Could have gone to the principal or somebody else and let them know what was going on. We could have made the decision not to punch each other. There's all kinds of things in which we had freedom and had choices whether we could see them or not. But the most profound thing was Alan sharing with me, despite all that had happened between us. And to me, there's a little bit of a lesson there, even in how we go about our world that we're in. Think about the number of choices or things that you decide to do. You might go to the store. What do you tune out? What do you decide not to see? How many times have you been walking down the street and a person who doesn't quite look like they're in the right place, maybe has a tone of skin color that's different to you, maybe looks criminal, whatever that means. Do you guard yourself? Do you look after yourself? Do you, even though you have no reason to be suspicious? How many times do we make decisions about another person before we even know them, or because society tells us? How much does the media influence us? How much do movies, the shows that we watch, the things that we read, tell us what to think about another person? We might not want to admit it, but that happens all the time. And that's really not what Jesus wants us to do or be. Jesus tries to help us to get the right orientation, kind of understand the world in a different viewpoint. There was another person in the time of Jesus who was incredibly influential in the world he was in, called Caesar. Caesar was said to be born of a virgin. Caesar was said to be God. Caesar was said to be all-powerful. Caesar, in many ways, said yes to the questions that we have in the gospel for today. The motto of the Roman Empire was, I came, I saw, I conquered. The way of the world that particular philosophy taught was one of violence. And Jesus comes and says, no. Let me show you a different way. Let me show you the way of love. It's not a weak way by any means. It's a very strong way. But man, it takes effort and it takes work. I don't know what it meant for Alan to break bread that day, but it changed everything. To share his lunch, to show kindness. And sometimes I think that's what we're called to do, but even more than just showing kindness, but to try to live the gospel fully in our lives. This week ahead for you, you have lots of choices to make. As Viktor Frankl would talk, you'll have lots of situations in which you have a choice in how you'll respond. And I think the temptation that's always before us is how we're going to respond, whether it's in a way that God's kingdom would say we would respond, or in a way in which the world would say we would respond. So what choices are you going to make this week? Amen.